Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Thinking about asking the Lord what to talk about today. I thought about this passage over in 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of things to be thankful for today, aren't there? There's a lot of things. But there is anything more to be thankful for than our salvation?
No.
Is there anything that could top that at all? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, looking down at verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." May God bless the reading of His Word. And verse 29 says why He did this, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Nobody can walk up to God and tell God why God should have saved them. We don't have anything to offer God. But He chose us to salvation of His own sovereign choice. And we want to talk about the chosen today. Lord, speak to our hearts through the Word of God today. Help this poor country preacher, Lord, to encourage and be a blessing to your people and for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' saving name. Amen and amen. Thanksgiving, there's nothing we could be more thankful for than the fact we have been saved. I'm saved and I know it. I hope you're saved and you know it. Because if you don't know it, you're pitiful. But we are all saved alike. Nobody's more saved than anybody else. We're saved the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. You remember a few years back now, Hillary Clinton said that Trump supporters were deplorable, and Walmart sharpers and other names called us that. Well, Jesus said in Luke 14, 21 and through 23, listen to what Jesus said. "Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.' And the Lord said to his servant, 'Go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" As I said a moment ago, no one is going to be able to boast before God that they deserve to be saved, because we're all sinners, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the condition of the whole entire human family ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. A race of sinners. And what's so sad, a lot of folks don't consider themselves a sinner. They can't ever be saved either with that attitude. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you will never be saved. Nobody deserves salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Election has proceeded from the mind of God, folks. God has chosen to be saved who is saved. And he did that before he ever made the world. Think about that. Even before the world was, God knew us all who would be saved and called and chose us to be saved. And lest I lose someone, you're all saved through Jesus Christ and no other way. It's always been that way. In the Old Testament, they had to believe in the coming Messiah. In the New Testament, we believe he came. Amen? He's came. You have not chosen me, Jesus said to his disciples. You didn't choose me. I chose you. What if the Lord had not have chose us to salvation? We'd be a pitiful crowd today, folks. Did you know most of the world's pitiful today? Because they're lost and undone and separated from God. And most of them don't realize it or don't care. And that's even worse, isn't it? Don't care. God did not elect to save any of the fallen angels when they sinned. God didn't choose to save a single one of them, not even Lucifer, the most beautiful of all of them. He didn't choose to save a single angel. But God did determine to save Adam and Eve. Think about that. The first couple, God determined to save them. God has chosen to save the weak, the despised, and the poor. God has chosen not to save as many wise men or mighty as noble ones. A lot of the highfalutin people, God's not chose to save them. Why? Because they don't recognize their sin. They're too important. They're better than we are. God don't choose to save them. Now, God saves some of them, yeah. But not like he saves poor people. People that's despised or looked down upon. That's where God's getting most of his people today, folks. God chose Abram, a Syrian, living in adultery. Think about this. The one we know as Abraham, he was a worshiper of idols. That's his background. God chose to save him. God chose Joseph to be a slave and then to be a savior to Jacob's family. God does the choosing, folks. God chose David, the youngest of all of the sons of Jesse. God chose Ruth, a Moabite, to be in the lineage of Jesus. A Moabite woman was chose to be in the lineage of Jesus. God does the choosing. And God has the right to choose who he wants to choose. Nobody can tell him what to do or when to do it. Folks, God Almighty is God. He does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, where he wants to. Nobody can do anything about it. He's God. He owns everything. Brother Chavis read that verse this morning about the cattle on the hill. He owns everything. It's all his. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for a mouthful. Amen. The sovereign act of God. Election is the sovereign act of God whereby certain elect persons are chosen for distinctive service for him. If you're saved today, you were chosen by God before he made the world, as I've stated. And let that sink in. The world's been here at least 6,000 years. And before he ever made it, God knew all about you and me. Isn't that awesome? He's an awesome God. We're going to get to live with him if you're saved. Grace. Gracious, what a God. Don't expect me to explain this now, because I just believe it. There are a few words more important than the word chosen in the Bible. The only word better than chosen is the grace of God. Amen. We're saved by the grace of God, not by anything we do, but He chooses to save us. And I'm going to tell you something now. His basis for choosing us is, what do we think about His Son? That's where the basis for His choosing comes at. John 3:16, I tell you all about it. And if you can't accept that verse, you're not chosen. And you won't be chosen. Because salvation is through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace means undeserved, unmerited. There's no right for us to be saved, but God's going to save us anyway by His grace. His grace is a person, Jesus. Salvation is a person, Jesus. Salvation is not a plan or a program. Salvation is a person, Jesus. That's why religion won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. Being a church member won't save you. Being good won't save you. Only Jesus saves. And it's so easy for so many people to miss it. And are missing it because the devil's deceiving them. I hope you know you've been chosen, and that you're saved, and that you're on your way to heaven. Because you could be dead before the rest of us get out of church today. What God does, He always meant to do. What He does, He always meant to do. When He saves a soul, He always intended to save that soul. He has no new plan. God doesn't have a new plan. This is His plan right here. This book contains God's plan. There's not going to be another book. And I do a lot of reading in papers. And I read a lot of scoffing by people who think they know everything and they don't even know nothing. This is the only book that tells the only way to be chosen of God and go to heaven. And yet that same crowd don't believe there's a heaven or a God. What God permits, He always meant to permit. If it's right to save a soul, it was always right to save a soul. If it's right to condemn a sinner to eternal woe, it was right for God to do so. People say, well, why would God let somebody go to hell? Because that's where they wanted to go. They want to go there. Why? They don't want Jesus to save them. They'd rather go to hell than for Jesus to save them. I'm telling y'all the truth. That's how deceived they are. That's what sin has done to the human heart. And that's what the power of the devil does too. Some people are saved and some people are not saved. Some people enter into eternal life and some pursue the evil way and they perish. I read some sad news this morning on the internet. I believe it was in Alabama. don't hold me to the way, but I believe it was the sheriff of Alabama or one of the sheriffs was killed last night by an 18-year-old boy. He was a Marine and was a sheriff for 10 years. Had a good reputation. But for some reason, we don't know, yeah, an 18-year-old boy shot him and then took his car and fled. But they got him. This world's gone mad, folks. What is the cause of this difference? Why is it that some people go to heaven? The reason is that some sink into hell is their sin. Sin condemns. Sin separates people from God. But God in mercy and in His grace provided a Savior. And God said, if you'll accept my Son, I'll save you and you can live with me forever. But if you don't accept God's Son, God won't accept you. It's that plain. How is it that some people are saved? Whose will is that has made them to differ? What made them different? What made them different was they heard the gospel and they believed it. You believe the gospel? What's the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says it's the power of God unto them that believe. If you don't believe, you can't be saved. You got to believe. I heard Johnny make a couple of comments already today in his Sunday school lesson. He said, I believe. I believe. I kept noting that. He just flat out believed it. Either you believe it or you don't. That's what determines your eternity. Where are you going to spend the eternity? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idlers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That kind of crowd's not going to heaven, Jesus said, or Paul wrote. And then he said, and such were some of you. When you get saved, you're no longer in that crowd. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. You're a new person. Isn't that amazing? That's what you call grace. That's what grace is. You go from one category of condemnation and you're transferred over to having the righteousness of Jesus Christ and being made acceptable to God. That's the chosen ones who believe. Who believe. Man chooses those who would be most helpful to him many times. God chose those to whom he could be the most helpful. Just the opposite. May I say that again? Listen again. Man chooses those who would be most helpful to him. You can do me a favor. But God, he don't operate that way. God chooses those to whom he can be the most helpful. God frequently selects those who must need his aid. If I choose a friend, the tendency is to him because of a certain use there may be in him to myself. This is the selfishness of man. But God chooses according to the use which he himself may render to the chosen one. Just the opposite. In other words, God wants to help us. God wants to give of himself to us. And we see this demonstrated over and over in the Bible. We see it even in our own personal lives, how God blesses us. God blesses us sometime when we don't even ask for a blessing, don't he? God just loves to give. God's the great giver. He's the greatest giver. He gave the greatest gift. He gave his own son. What a great God. He saw we needed it. I had a guy call me last night. He'd already called out here. And he already called the house and left a message, and I wouldn't answer the phone. And then he called last night, and dumb preacher, I answered the phone. And I knew it was a good number I didn't know, but I just going to be nice and answer the phone. Oh, another con man. Oh, he was from Chicago. And he was an independent Baptist. He used to be a Jew. I mean, he gave me a speech that long. And I don't have but a dollar. I said, listen, sir, listen. He said, I'm 72 years old. And I've never been sick until the last week, I believe he said, something like that. I said, well, let me tell you something. I'm 82 years old. I've had 4 heart attacks, and I got leukemia. You want me to get out tonight and go see you? You know that he didn't even faze, that didn't even faze that man. Finally, my arm got too heavy to hold the phone. You know what I'm saying? People looking to use you, folks. God don't do that. Not in that way. God wants to use you in a good way. God wants to use you so he can bless you. Amen? Praise God for a God like our God is. Yeah. God's reasons another way. He passes by the kings on purpose so that he may meet with the beggar. Think about God. Remember when Jesus was born? And Herod found out about it? When Jesus was born, it wasn't announced to the Herod. It was announced to shepherds. Poor people. Look who Jesus was born to, folks. Poor people. Isn't it strange how God works, folks? Look where Jesus spent his first night. For to feed the animals. They called it a manger. At the house, we called it a feeding trough. That was his crib for the night, or bed. Yeah, God, he leaves the noble so that he may lay hold on the base and pass over the philosopher that he may receive the fool. God's ways are not man's ways, folks. God's ways are not man's ways. And his ways, the Bible says, is past finding out. How many times have I heard Billy Graham say it? There's a lot about God I don't know. I've learned a lot, but there's a sure lot I don't know about God. But whatever they are, they're all good. Amen? They're good. Yes. Oh, this is strange. It's marvelous. Let us praise him for his wonderful grace towards us, church. Here we are. We're just average people. Most of us got a farming background. Most of us. When I was growing up, about all the farmers was in church and their families, weren't they? But people with means and power, you don't see them flocking to the churches that much. That's why God chooses people that'll listen, people that know they need God. Are you listening to me today? Listen to me. Do you realize you need God? Amen. See, that's the kind of people God's calling, people that know they need Him, people that realize how helpless they are. What a great God He is, folks. That He chooses the down and out. The helpless. God chose for His Son to be born to poor parents. That was arranged, pre-planned. And when His Son was born, He sent shepherds. Shepherds were despised in that day. They were looked down upon. And yet they were the first to come see the baby. How encouraging for us today. Some of us cannot boast of any pedigree. One of the things that's going on in our society today is trace your ancestry. See where you come from. You got any Cherokee in you? Come to find out she didn't have no Cherokee. We have no great education, many of us. We're just simple people. Too many people are going to school today getting education, and they're being taught and brainwashed with this evolutionary theory. They've got so bad now they don't know a male from a female. They don't know a men's bathroom from the women's bathroom. That's what education has done. Amen. Education did that, folks. Of course, the devil's behind it, amen? What mercy He's been pleased to choose such foolish people as we are to be His people. If the first 12 apostles had all been 12 doctors or wise men, everyone would have said, that's why the gospel spread so good. Because these was doctors, learned men. But that wasn't the case, was it? Instead, God looked around for 12 poor men. He got some stinking fishermen. Four or five of them was fishermen. One was a tax collector. He had a lot of money, but he was hated and despised by his own people. But that's who Jesus chose to be His disciples, folks. He didn't choose outstanding citizens of His day. And yet, they become the apostles and they spread the gospel. And it went all over the Roman Empire. Isn't that amazing? Growing up over the years, I've noticed, you might have noticed it too, that oftentimes the people that God called to preach, the men, was farmer's sons. Or other lowly position guys or men. God just works that way. Reading the other day, you know, there's not being many people seemingly being called to the ministry now. What's wrong? The Bible talks about being a famine of the Word. I don't hear many young men coming into the ministry. I hear of a lot of men getting out of the ministry. Times is changing, folks. Different ones put the disciples to death. They persecuted them. And when they did, Christianity began to multiply. Think about that. The orders were given to destroy the Christians, and the more they hunted them, the more Christians there were. And so they began to invent torments. They dragged the saints with wild horses. They laid them upon red-hot gridirons. They frayed or skinned them alive. They were sawed asunder, like Isaiah is said to have been. They were wrapped up in skins and dabbed with pitch and put in Nero's gardens at night to burn. They were left in dungeons to be made a spectacle in the amphitheater. And the bears and the lions tore them to pieces, and the wild bulls tossed them upon their horns, and yet Christianity spread. And yet I keep hearing that today, in this present hour, that more Christians are being persecuted than ever before. People hate Christians. People hate this book. People hate Jesus Christ. People hate God. And yet God is choosing a people to be his people out of all these haters. And they'll be with him for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Remember what God said to Moses? God said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Think about that verse. God has mercy on who he wants to have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So there is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And the Bible says the Lord's mercy is great. It's plenteous. God is not only great in mercy, plenteous in mercy, but he delights to show mercy, he said. And he tells us we can ask for mercy. That's the blessing that we have as saved people. Being chosen by God to be his people. Now that we've been chosen, we're always going to be his people. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, but we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a standing block, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. God is calling people to salvation through this gospel. And those that respond, he saves. He makes them his sons, his daughters. They're in his family. And he deals with us different from the people that don't want to hear. He deals with us as sons and daughters. He is with us and never to leave us, he said. And he's coming to get us. And one of these mornings we will vanish away and we will be gone. And I feel it's getting closer and closer and closer. This world, it seems like it's gone mad. On every continent, people can't get along. Weapons of war are getting so destructive now. I read an article this past week for drones. They're talking about, and China's leading in this, and the United States is following, are working with swarms of drones. You ever noticed a big covey of birds that are going through the air, and all of a sudden they dart as one, and they dart as one? Well, the military is working with drones now, armed. And when they're attacking a ship and they're coming like a covey of birds on them, if the ship knocks out a bunch of the drones, there's so many of them, one or two will get through and do the job. All kind of advanced weapons coming on the scene now, folks. The end of time must be drawing nigh. And we as God's people need to be faithful, loving Him and serving Him and trying to get out this word as much as we can. Praying for souls, working for souls, because time, I believe, is short. The gospel, as I said in closing, is the power of God unto salvation. It's the only way a person can get saved. It's the only way God chooses someone to salvation. And salvation is free. And it's offered to everybody. But it's only those who will humble themselves, acknowledge they're a sinner, and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And He never refuses anyone who's humble enough to come to Him. Loving God, thank You for this hour. Thank You for this time of the year when we reflect upon the many, many blessings of God upon us that's been ours through the past year. Lord, You're so good to us. Lord, You're so faithful in blessing us, Lord. And Lord, from this service today, as a body of believers, we praise You. We thank You. And Lord, we just ask You, help us to be the people that will exalt Your precious and holy name. And like we preached last Sunday, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of Your benefits. All the benefits You give to us, wise enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today that knows not the Savior, draw them to the Savior. Open their blinded eyes, Lord. Give them a heart that desires the salvation of the Lord. And Lord, help all of us commit ourselves to faithful, loving, and serving You. And we'll give thanks and praise always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God bless. Today, we invite you to the altar for prayer. We invite you to Christ for salvation. We invite you to come and pray for someone that needs salvation.